Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
There's going to be a lot of Mexicans, more Mexicans out of work. It'll make it harder on the border. It'll make it harder to deal with. So people who say, let's get rid of NAFTA as a throwaway political line, must understand this has been good for America. And it's also been, good for Mexico and Canada. And that's what you want in your neighborhood.
If Iran were to launch a nuclear attack on Israel, what would our response be? And I want the Iranians to know that if I'm the president, we will attack Iran. And I want them to understand that, because it does mean that they have to look very carefully at their society. Whatever stage of development they might be in their nuclear weapons program in the next 10 years, during which they might foolishly consider launching an attack on Israel, we would be able to totally obliterate them. That's a terrible thing to say. But those people who run Iran need to understand that, because that perhaps will deter them from doing something that would be reckless, foolish, and tragic.
All right, Bump and Grind with Michael Savage. Well, I don't know. Listening to the two of them, I feel as though I'm living inside a Salvador Dali painting. Earth Angel, it's like a parallel universe. What world are these people living in? It's unreal. Bush is telling us NAFTA is good for the American worker. Hillary's going to obliterate Iran, which, by the way, I agree with her on that if they should get crazy. But the whole thing sounds crazy, out of touch with reality. That's why I'm playing Earth Angel for a minute, so bear with me. It is the Savage Nation. Big primary day. Of course, we'll be the first national talk show in America to have the results. And we have a woman on the street in Philadelphia who will join us when the polls start to close, so we can get the usual horse feathers about, you know, what they're saying and what they're doing. Who cares what they're saying and doing? I wish this were over already. We get on, turn it off. We get on with America's business already. What is this? It's mind-wearying. So today is Earth Day, by the way. Now, many of you don't know what Earth Day is and when it was started. Earth Day was begun by Ira Einhorn, who coincidentally murdered his girlfriend and stuffed her in a trunk. And you should know that the great, great Senator Arlen Specter was one of the Democrats at the time who helped usher Ira Einhorn out of America so he could avoid justice. I don't know if you know that about the great Arlen Specter, the turncoat. So that's Earth Day. It's a holiday for liars, as someone wrote. And you know what I love about this whole global warming thing and Earth Day? Can you name anyone in the media who has done more about the environment than me? No. I've written books saving the environment. I saved parks and rainforests. I know more about it than any of them. I'm the only one with a degree in science, so far as I know. And you listen to these people, they're like children, idiotic children, just parroting what they hear. They tell you that global warming is real and blah, blah, blah. They don't tell you about what's going on in Antarctica. They don't tell you any of the reality factors. They just repeat the propaganda. So now we have to listen to this all day, Earth Day. Earth Day. Ask Al Sharpton where he was on Earth Day 1970. I mean, the reason I mention Al Sharpton is he's now a professor that Al Gore hired to work on a commercial with Reverend Robertson, another sterling individual. The two reverends, it's like the two guys. It's unbelievable. Reverend Robertson, a very reliable source on the environment. So we're waiting. President Bush giving the speech, the Three Amigos speeches today in New Orleans about NAFTA was surreal. I got to tell you that. I never heard a pack of lies like this in my life. Listen to clip two.
NAFTA exists. And NAFTA, when you analyze it in an objective way, it benefits, beneficial to America.
No, it isn't,
also,
sir.
It would be beneficial to Mexico and Canada, which makes it,
yes,
a,
it is, sir.
You know, a very good comprehensive agreement. It's beneficial to us because when you're able to export to your neighborhood, it helps create jobs.
Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. Whoa.
Jobs are created.
Bush is claiming. Stop. Bush is claiming that NAFTA has helped create jobs for America? Do you understand the lie here? I told you I felt as though I was inside a Salvador Dali painting listening to him. Jobs, nearly 300,000 U.S. family farms were lost during the NAFTA era, while these farms' income shrunk another 13%. And moreover, to go even further, the figures used by Bush are misleading. Manufacturing has actually gone down in America. It's gone up in America. We've lost 3 million net U.S. manufacturing jobs during NAFTA. The average unemployment rate was 5.1% in the period 94 to 07, compared to 7.1% during the period 80 to 93, says Bush. But that's not true. 3 million net U.S. manufacturing jobs were lost during NAFTA. Manufacturing jobs, not jobs in the service industry. Not jobs making websites and working for websites. We're talking about infrastructure here. So I listened to this and I couldn't believe it anymore. He doesn't stop. Did anyone hear the Three Amigos speech today? Calderon was an embarrassment, the president of Mexico. It was actually made me squirm because he was here dictating to us what our policy should be. Listen to clip 13.
Of course, there are issues of interest between Canada and the United States. They're working on those issues. In the case of Mexico, we are working very hard on how to expand the border crossings between Mexico and the United States with projects that are already in course.
So they're trying to expand border crossings between Mexico and the United States. Why not? Why not export more of your poor? And why not import more of our jobs if you can get away with it? Now listen to 15.
Another factor I was discussing yesterday with President Bush that he reiterated today, and I will reiterate as well, would be a sudden loss of economic opportunities that would even lead to even greater migratory pressure with the United States.
Great. Listen to the words he used, greater migratory pressure. He's talking about sending more illegal aliens across the border. Now, we do have a military. We have tanks. We have armed men. We could stop this migratory pressure instantly, incidentally. But we don't have the will for it. The problem is the political class has sold us down the drain. And why do you think this primary in Pennsylvania is about jobs rather than about the war? Because the meat and potatoes issue is what the people are going to vote on today. And they know very well that if it's a choice between Hillary and an unknown factotum, such as Barry Hussein Obama, they're going to go with someone they know. So they're going to go with Hillary. Everyone knows she's going to win. That's the prediction. Of course, that's good for America for a number of reasons. It will keep them exposing each other to the American people for what they are because they're going to get down and dirty with each other. And the more we learn about Barry Hussein Obama, the better it is for America. They're not going to be taken in by this cardboard messiah. So that's good. And when it comes down to a vote between Hillary and McCain, we'll have to see. I'd like to hear McCain say he'll do something against Iran. I haven't heard him say anything yet, the Tin Man. So that's another topic we can't talk about today. The phone number here, of course, is 1-800-449-8255. We can take your calls here on the Savage Nation. Let's begin with Mandy on KNEW in San Francisco. Mandy, welcome to the program.
Hi, my name is Manny, and I'm Michael High. I'm asking everybody to on November 4th, whenever the election day is, to have some self-respect, have some intelligence, and have a nice lunch, take a walk in the park, do something personal, and don't fall for the okey-doke of American elections. These three candidates are a shell game. It's just a trick. The special interests, the corporations run this country. The American president has no clout. He has no respect. Iran.
We understand all of that is true. But you're not suggesting that electing Obama would be the same as electing McCain, are you?
I absolutely am. My point is that whoever the president is, the guy who sits in the seat, doesn't have any respect around the world, so it doesn't
matter. Well, Manny, let's not get carried away. Manny, they may not have the ultimate authority that we would like because we don't live in a dictatorship, but lucky they don't have that authority. Look at the damage Bush has been able to do without the authority to do any more damage. But, Manny, you're telling me there'd be no difference between who McCain would appoint to the Supreme Court and Barry Hussein Obama, who associates with radical bomb throwers?
They're all taking their orders and their instructions from the people who put up the money to get them to be where they are.
I know. I rail against Goldman Sachs. Yesterday I said that it's the United States of Goldman Sachs, not the United States of America. Did you hear that line?
Well, I agree with you completely. So to truck out the American people, the poor, forgotten American public, and tell them this one is better than that one, and their future will be any different.
Well, I don't know. There are shades of difference here. There are shades of difference. Barry Hussein Obama is a known radical who hangs around with very, very dangerous people. I'm not going to gamble that he is going to be the same as John McCain. In other words, if I have a choice between a man who dropped bombs on the North Vietnamese and someone who helped, who hangs around with people who planted bombs on the police cars, I'll take John McCain, who dropped bombs on our enemies, rather than someone who alleges that they're his friends, the people who put bombs under our friends, the police. Thanks for the call. I'll be right back.
Savage.
To secure our borders. American people want the border secured first. I know how to secure those borders. I come from a border state where a huge percentage of those who cross illegally into this country. But we need to secure our borders. We can do it through a variety of ways. Then we need to have a temporary worker program that works.
He coughed on the truth. All right. So there's McCain again slipping up and saying we need to secure the borders and we need a temporary workers program. Now, they're not necessarily mutually incompatible, but the fact of the matter is a temporary workers program is a set of code words for amnesty. That's what it means. Now, everybody has to listen carefully. You have to hear me on this, and you have to hear me clearly. The Mexican people are a beautiful people, by and large. They're a hardworking people. They're a family-oriented people. The problem is the lifeboat is full, number one, and we have millions of able-bodied bums who are collecting government checks who could be working these jobs if they were forced to do it. They could learn to work again. They could be forced to work again. Now, I know the word forced and work scares you liberals because immediately you think work camps. No, but it's something other than that. It's called self-sufficiency, something that self-reliance, self-sufficiency. It's something that has driven me all of my life. It's why I'm still working when I don't have to. Why am I working? I'm working because I want to. Why do I want to work? Because it's drilled into me from childhood that a man's dignity is connected to working. A man's dignity and his destiny is connected to his working. Not sitting in a doorway and collecting a check while you're guzzling beer with your friends or playing dominoes in the street like in Cuba, like I owe you something. That's not dignity and that's not destiny. That's slavery. And so if you want to give a person dignity, you make them work if they won't work on their own. And don't tell me we couldn't have our own workforce. Who do you think worked these horrible jobs? The welfare class right now were the people who did the menial jobs. How hard is that for you to understand? The country is bankrupt. I don't care what they tell you tomorrow. The dollar is slipping. It's paper. It worries me very deeply. I'm terrified about the currency problem. The euro went up to $1.60 today. $1.60 per euro. I remember when it was introduced, it was like 85 cents. A friend of mine said, why don't you buy euros? I looked at it like it was a joke. Now we're the joke. We've gone from being the breadbasket of the world to, I hope we don't become the basket case of the world. Why isn't Bush putting in export controls on the export of wheat? What would happen if you woke up one day and you found out that the United States of America was no longer able to feed itself? We had to buy wheat on the open market. What would you do if you woke up to that one day? Let's go to another country, Zimbabwe, ex-Rhodesia. Zimbabwe, when it was run by whites and there were white farmers, was a food. Not only was it able to feed itself, it was a breadbasket nation. It was able to feed itself and it exported food. Exported food. Then the crazy racist maniac, who is now killing opposition leaders in Zimbabwe, Mugabe, took over, threw the whites off the farms, and soon thereafter, it became a basket case. Zimbabwe had to go buy food. The people started to starve. They could not grow their own food anymore. What would happen if you woke up and found out that America, the breadbasket of the world, because of corruption and greed and incompetence, suddenly was a net food importing nation, that we can no longer feed ourselves? What would you do that day? Who would you blame for it? And what would you do about it if we had to start buying food on the open market? What if we had to buy wheat from the Ukraine? Would you like to wake up and find out that in your grandchild's lifetime, care packages have to be dropped in America by aircraft from Russia because of corruption during this period of time? I look, you say I'm off the measure here. I'm not too far off from what's going on here. It's not too far off from what's going on in your country right in front of your eyes. I'm telling you, it's that bad. There are ways to fix it, though. Oil for war. Start with the logical. Start with common sense. Make the Iraqis pay with oil, for God's sakes. How many different times do I have to say the same thing? Why don't you hear this being talked about by Barry Hussein Obama or Hillary Clinton, who's going to save the people in Pennsylvania tonight, or doofus there, John McCain, instead of the same old, over and over the same rubbish from all three of them, the three amigos giving us the rubbish. Let one of them come up with a novel plan and say, you know what? I want oil for war. We liberated 24 million Iraqis. It's time for them to pay us back. We've put in $500 billion, $500 billion. And by the way, I think it's much higher. And we're going to pump oil. We're going to take the oil. It's going into our naval petroleum reserve. And we're going to use the naval petroleum reserve to increase stocks in America. So gasoline prices are going to go from $4.50 to $2.50 a gallon as a result. Now, then you say, I got a leader who cares about me. I got a leader who can think. I got a leader who cares about America. I got a leader who puts America's interests ahead of all other interests. Why don't you hear anything like that from the three amigos? Tell me why you haven't heard it. Because they don't have your interests at heart. I do. I have your interests at heart. And I have better ideas than every politician in this country put together. I stand by those words. I have better ideas than the entire pack of political structure.
Savage.
So the globalists hold a meeting today trying to sell America on NAFTA, which has been a disaster for the country, a net loss of jobs, manufacturing of automobiles in Mexico now exceed that of the cars made in America. Family farms have been destroyed. I don't have to give you the litany. NAFTA has been a disaster for the average American. It's been a boon to some corporations, not to all by any means. And here's Bush wanting to continue it and push it now to Colombia. In the midst of the worst job downturn in modern history, a currency crisis, a balance of trade crisis, well, crises with him, it's like his middle name. The man continues to push the same storyline that he's pushed from the beginning, and he thinks that the people don't know what he's saying. Take a look at the benefits of free trade. Contaminated blood thinner from China is now in 11 countries. Heparin. This would have been made in America in the past. How in the world did the FDA let contaminated blood thinner be made in China, go into 11 countries, including our own? We once had the best food and drug supply, the purest in the world. We don't have the purest food supply in the world anymore. As a result of the WTO and NAFTA, we have a second world food supply in this country. France has a far safer food supply than we do. They have not buckled to the insanity of the deregulation that George Bush has been pushing. Do you know that most people I know have told me they've had a bout of food poisoning over the last year, whether it be in a restaurant or at home from foods they're buying? I'll give you an example. I, for one, love garlic. You've known that. I eat it all my life. I'm afraid to eat garlic now. I don't know where it comes from. I used to get garlic from Gilroy here in California. I knew it was grown in America. It probably didn't have maleic hydrazide on it. It probably did not have the other chemicals that I know to be carcinogenic on it. So I ate garlic. I ate it. I'm afraid to eat garlic now because most of it's coming from China. I wouldn't eat a root crop from China. The soil is contaminated. They have no conscience whatsoever about spraying chemicals on foods and killing as many people as... What do they care how many people they kill? They take kidneys from prisoners over there. They put bears in a cage their whole life to take pancreatic fluid, to take bile out of the bear. What do you think? They care about you, you idiot, you? Who's looking out for you? Oh, Fox News is looking out for you. Just ask them. They're looking out for the people at the ranch there in Texas, too, whose children were taken away. The slime bags in the media are ridiculing the women's hairstyles and their dresses, the New York Post. I spit on those bums, those vermin at the New York Post, owned by the same group of... How in the world do these people face themselves? What are they, on drugs, that they have no conscience? They gang up on a group of helpless Christians down there at the cult because they're not like them, because they don't gel their hair and sleep with strangers in a nightclub. I mean, is that what their idea of journalism is today, to slam these women and children and make a mockery of them because they're not like them, because they don't wear miniskirts up to their crotch, so they're not worthy human beings? They mock their hairstyles and their dresses, and they don't talk about the fundamental human rights issue of our time, which is stealing children with armed cops in bulletproof vests and machine guns standing guard over unarmed women and stealing the babies from their arms? What is it, a tryout for the Third Reich in America? To see how it fits. They'll try it first in Texas to see if it works. It's worked pretty good. The whole media is on their side. Isn't it interesting that the atheist media is on the side of an oppressive government action like this? Would you ever believe this would happen in your lifetime? So there are so many problems, you know, but there are solutions. And I would say start with the fundamental problem, our currency. The dollar is eroding. It frightens me. I've studied history. I remember the horrible pictures of people in post-World War I Germany taking a wheelbarrow of Deutschmarks to the grocery store to buy a loaf of bread because the dollar, the Deutschmark had become worthless owing to inflation, runaway inflation. That gave rise to Adolf Hitler. And certainly we're not in that state of affairs. I understand that. But this is a nightmare. We see the dollar slipping in value against the euro, against the yen, against other standards of currency. What happens if we wake up one day and huge holders of our dollar dump them and we find out the dollar went down in value by 30% overnight? What are you going to do then? What can you do overnight? Tell me what you can do. Nothing. You can do nothing. When you have a group of incompetence and corrupt individuals running your country, you'll wind up with Zimbabwe, and they'll still give speeches telling you things are good. They'll tell you things are great. You think Mugabe gets up there and says things are bad in Zimbabwe? He still gets up there while he's killing people and says, things are very good in Zimbabwe now. They're very good, and anyone who disagrees is an enemy of the state. And I worry that we could wind up with a situation like that, with a very, very, very powerful and rich could care less about the people in the gutter, you. So I'm in a strange position here in some ways, and I'm in a very strange position. Because financially, I'm in a very small minority of very successful people being in the media. Emotionally, I identify with the people as a populist because I'm an immigrant son, and I started as a very, very poor person. And so, therefore, I haven't forgotten my roots. I remember what Rudyard Kipling wrote when he said, if you can walk with kings and never lose the common touch, then you'll be a man, my son. And I hope that I do that. I hope I can walk that walk every day. It doesn't mean I'm hypocritical. It doesn't mean I'm trying to flare up the average person against the power structure just for ratings. None of that is true. I know what's good for you is good for America. That's something I understand. Because when you destroy the working class in the country, you fundamentally destroy the country. And right now, the working class in this country is targeted for destruction. The middle class is eroded. We understand that. So what is the working class? What consists of the working class here? So we got to go back to basics. Let's go back to the currency issue. Let's go back to the food issue. You're telling me that the food issue right now is not a problem with contaminated garbage coming in from China, with no export controls on even wheat or rice? We can sell it on the world market so that we may wind up with depleted stocks in our own stores. What are you going to do if one day you wake up and there's a shortage of rice in America? Oh, you didn't wake up the other day because there's a shortage of rice in America. What are you going to do if you wake up one day and there's no bread on the shelves? And it says in a giant store, Safeway, temporarily sold out. You're going to say, oh, well, it's temporarily sold out. What are you going to do if you wake up one day and it's like Eastern Europe where there's no food in the store because of incompetence and corruption? What are you going to do then? And look at these clowns, what they're talking about. Medicare, Medicaid, and the environment. The same crap that Hillary's been selling since the 90s. The environment. Medical care for all. Free crutches, free wheelchairs here. Come here, get your crutches and wheelchairs. And your medication that you don't need, it'll poison you. Where are they going to get the money from for all of this? They've also diluted the healthcare system with this giveaway to people who don't work for it. But that's a separate complicated story that I want to go into. You can make these bums pay for some healthcare. You can make everybody do co-payments that are much higher. You'll achieve an awful lot right away. You'll cut down on the number of people who are using doctors as entertainment because they have nothing else to do. They're living on Social Security. And some of them have plenty of money, but they love to go to the nice doctor and talk to him every day. They love to go to a different doctor as often as possible and have their pulse taken and their EKG done and the prostate looked at and the behind looked at and the ear looked at and the eye looked at and the head looked at. They love it. It's for free. Particularly the Emmys come over here. They love it. They love this kind of attention. Wouldn't you if you can get it for nothing? Well, who's paying for it? You are. That's why the healthcare system has been melting down, because it's too much, too free for too many. Make them pay $25 a visit. It won't kill most people. It'll cut down on the doctor visits, number one. And number two, it might make the healthcare system healthier. That's my second idea. I have many good ideas. They're all valid ideas, and they're politically sound ideas. And they would work if they were presented by politicians with guts instead of ideas given to them by pollsters. These are commonsensical ideas. So I've given many ideas. None of them have been accepted. I admit that. In that sense, I'm an unsung prophet in my own time. It doesn't mean I'm not a prophet. I am a prophet, and I'll say it to you. I'm not going to hide behind it. I am a prophet. I am a prophet, and many of the ideas I've given in my books and on my radio show are prophetic in their wisdom. You may not like me politically, and I understand many of you don't, because you're brainwashed, foolish, idiotic people who don't even know what's good for yourself, let alone your country. You have no idea what's good for yourself. How can you know what's good for your nation? You're so blinded to your own vice and your own vices that you put that ahead of your own survival. I understand how human weakness is. But I am prophetic in some of the ideas that I have offered in my books and on my radio shows over these 15 years. And I'm not going to back down from any of them because they're all good. Prove them wrong. Prove me wrong when I said 2 books ago, give me an oil for illegals deal. 20 to 30 million illegal aliens in America. I wrote 2 books ago, give me a barrel of oil from Mexico per day, per month. 1 barrel per illegal per month. 20 million barrels a month for free. Is it for free? No, it's to pay us back for the grotesque social costs of the illegal aliens from Mexico. The country's exporting their poor because they don't want to take care of them. They don't want a revolution in their country. So they come here. Some of them work, some don't work. Some of them don't work. Where do you think all the babies are coming from? You think every mother who's home with a baby in her womb is working? She's not working. She's knocking out babies like Tasty Bread, because you're going to pay for it, you idiot. Go look at your mall with them 15-year-olds walking around with a carriage, 2 and 3 babies. Why is she knocking out as many babies as possible? Because each one is an anchor baby. Each one is a citizen, you moron. What kind of country can let this go on? You're going to wake up a stranger in your own country. Let one politician say that. What are you going to do, curse him? Yell at him and go boo and say you can't talk? We're going to censure you. Look, they did to the politician in Colorado, so let it be done. Let 100 politicians say it, and it shall become reality. This country will disappear unless we stand up to these hordes. I'll be right back.
Savage.
McCain. McCain says he's not a protectionist. When has it become a dirty word to protect your own nation and your own people? Welcome back to the Savage Nation. I'm proud to say I am a protectionist. I'd love to protect America's borders, language, and culture. What is McCain ashamed to say he's a protectionist for? He's got the New World Order disease. If he's not a protectionist, what does that actually mean? Either you're protecting America or you're not protecting America. So where's the shame in saying you're a protectionist? See, this is a misnomer. This is a word that's used to placate Goldman Sachs and the investment bankers on Wall Street. That's the only reason he would say a thing like that, is to make sure the banking community doesn't look upon him as some ideologue that they can't do business with. The fact of the matter is only a protectionist can save America's currency and save America's food supply and save America's dignity. Let's use the word dignity. Has any politician talked about the dignity of America, the dignity of the average American? When have you last seen people in the streets looking up to somebody instead of looking down at them, a politician? When have you last heard of a crowd looking up to somebody? I can tell you when. It was this weekend when the Pope was here. You notice how quickly the atheists in the media dismissed that phenomenal event. It was almost a cosmic appearance when the Pope was here. It's been forgotten already by the vermin in the media. They got rid of it as fast as they could. They only panned it to the Catholic voters because they know they read newspapers and go on the internet. But you notice how quickly they let this go? This was a phenomenal event. Awesome event. I would say that man is as close to God as any human being on this planet right now. That's what I could read off it from a distance. I had a sense that this man was as close to God as you're going to find on a walking human being. It was quite an event. How long has it been since you heard about the Pope? The minute he got on that plane, he was gone. Gone. The vermin in the media wanted to make him forgotten as fast as possible. The next day, they did an upskirt shot of some vermin on Sunset Boulevard and reminded you she was still in business, still functioning. Here's a story from the top left of MichaelSavage.com. Muslims want Mecca time to replace world time zones. Muslim so-called scientists, I don't believe there are any of any value, and clerics, I don't believe they know what they're talking about, have called for the adoption of so-called Mecca time to replace Greenwich Mean Time, arguing that the Saudi city is the true center of the earth. So they want to make the world Mecca-centric, and they want you to change your clocks. It wouldn't be gross mean time anymore. It would be Mecca time. They know this is their time because we have weakness and corruption in the West. So they sense their time. They're just trying everything they can to insult and embarrass us. And, of course, with the crop of politicians we have running the West, they might just get away with it. Who knows what could happen tomorrow? Bush could wind up being led around by the pinky and say, for the sanctity of the world, we're going to shift time now to Mecca time. How do I know? What if abuse calls prove fake? That's about the fake anonymous call about the polygamy sect in Texas. We know the abuse call was fake. Did you know that the suspected polygamy hoax caller was a delegate for Obama? Swinton is listed on the El Paso County Democratic Party's website as a super delegate for Obama. Did you know that? Did you know that? Did you ever wonder why that raid was conducted when it was conducted? Did you ever think somebody pulled a switch on them for a reason? Here's an article. For critics, sects, hair, and puffy sleeves are a crime enough. That came out of a wonderful newspaper, which I've linked up. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Don't touch me there. Jury rejects rectal exam lawsuit. It's an interesting story. I can't even explain it to you, but it's quite an interesting story. On the left side of the website, protect freedom of speech, support the Michael Savage Legal Defense Fund if you've not done so. And I finally put back for you, folks who don't want to use PayPal, the address that you can send it to. It's in a trust fund in my lawyer's office. I don't even touch the money, to be honest with you. I don't want to, and I don't. Let us see what else. Jihad Jimmy hones Hamas hatred is my headline about the Jew hater from Plains, Georgia. Jihad Jimmy hones Hamas hatred. You talk about egg on a man's face. I couldn't think of a former president who's embarrassed himself more than Jimmy Carter. That's why we renamed him Jihad Jimmy. 1-800-449-8255, phone number, michaelsavage.com website. Let us see what else I have put up there for you. Some of the things you've seen, some you haven't seen. Pediatricians are killing kids with Ritalin. Heart attacks follow soul death. That's my headline. Why do I say soul death? Because Ritalin kills the child's soul. ADHD drugs kill the child's soul. If Tom Sawyer were alive, I wrote in 1982 in my great book, at the time. If Tom Sawyer were alive, they would declare he had ADHD and put him on Ritalin and kill his soul. And you're letting these crackpots kill your son's life by putting him on these drugs, which is why I wrote Healing Children Naturally, which is why I want you to buy Healing Children Naturally, which is why I want grandparents to buy one for your daughter or your son to make sure your child grows up as drug-free as possible. Okay? Now I'm going to go to your calls. I've gotten a lot of this out of my system. Oil for war. Want to talk about that? You want to talk about the currency crisis? Do you want to talk about Bush's obsession with free trade and NAFTA? Do you want to talk about the out-of-touch reality of these politicians making me, maybe you, feel like you're a character or a painting inside a Salvador Dali painting? Sometimes I feel as though they're in a Salvador Dali painting. Sometimes I feel as though I'm in the Salvador Dali painting with everything distorted. What do you feel? Virginia Beach, Shannon, quickly, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, I'm wondering when we're going to be able to get a president like Theodore Roosevelt that's not afraid to stand up to the corporations and the big trusts and not afraid to put limits on immigrants that only help the country, only let the people in that can help the country out. What are we going
to do? Right, it was Teddy. You raise a good Roosevelt. It was Teddy Roosevelt who came to power on a populist message, which was called Bust the Trusts. I don't know if you studied history, know that part of history. There was a similar problem in America at the turn of the 20th century. The Rockefeller oil companies were a monopoly, and he wanted to break up the trust, and he wanted to change it into a regional oil company instead of one gigantic oil monopoly. It was the same with the railroads. It had become too powerful, this one railroad, a national railroad or a national oil company. So his campaign slogan was, bust the trusts. We have the same problem today, by the way, Shannon. That's why Teddy Roosevelt is the correct model. Of course, it didn't hurt that Teddy Roosevelt was a soldier and a member of the Rough Riders and was actually wounded in a campaign. And the only proximity we have to him is John McCain, where he also was wounded in battle, and he should use that more often, in my opinion. If only he would start to behave a little bit more like Teddy Roosevelt and a little less like Teddy Kennedy, we'd be better off. So that would be my only advice to is John McCain, is start to behave more like the first Teddy, not like the current Teddy. This is the Savage Nation. I'll be with you right through the primaries tonight on this program. We'll see early results very shortly out of Pennsylvania. We'll be the first national radio talk show to have them. We have a live woman talk show host in Philadelphia for us, who's going to be a woman on the street right here on the Savage Nation. You're going to want to listen to it here.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Exists. And NAFTA, when you analyze it in an objective way, it benefits, beneficial to America. Also happens to be beneficial to Mexico and Canada, which makes it a very good comprehensive agreement. It's beneficial to us because when you're able to export to your neighborhood, it helps create jobs.
God.
Jobs are created when people find outlets for their goods and services.
Good God.
We have found a lot of outlets for our goods and services in our neighborhood.
If Iran were to launch a nuclear attack on Israel, what would our response be? And I want the Iranians to know that if I'm the president, we will attack Iran. And I want them to understand that, because it does mean that they have to look very carefully at their society. Whatever stage of development they might be in their nuclear weapons program in the next 10 years, during which they might foolishly consider launching an attack on Israel, we would be able to totally obliterate them. That's a terrible thing to say, but those people who run Iran need to understand that, because that perhaps will deter them from doing something that would be reckless, foolish, and tragic.
Yeah, if she really meant it, I'll tell you, she'd get my vote. Welcome to the Savage Nation. So here we are living as though we are in a Salvador Dali painting, or the politicians are in a Salvador Dali painting, meaning it's all so surreal. Welcome to the program. In approximately less than an hour now, we will be getting the early results out of Pennsylvania, which is a big deal, by the way, for those of you who've been following this endless campaign. It's bread and roses all over again to entertain the masses into thinking there's a huge difference. In some ways there is, but in the bigger way there isn't, because there's not a real leader amongst them. There's not a real America lover amongst them, as far as I could tell, because there are some simple solutions to some very, very real problems. And I challenge anyone listening to this program, to tell me anybody in the American media who actually has offered better solutions than I have to several of the problems. I've called for oil for illegals, one barrel of oil for every illegal alien per month from Mexico, to pay us for the extraordinary social costs that the illegal alien has burdened the society with. I have called for oil from Iraq to pay for the grotesque, the obscene, rather, cost of this war. They have resources. They should pay us back in kind with resources. There was a time in America, for example, that when a person couldn't pay a doctor with cash, they paid him through bushels of fruit from their farm. Well, we liberated the Iraqis, and what have we gotten in return? Yankee go home? What we got before? They're a bunch of ingrates. The whole nation's filled with ingrates and backstabbers and throat cutters. Make them pay for the blood and the dollars that we've given them. Make them pay. Why don't we hear this from John McCain or Hillary Clinton? I wouldn't expect it from Barry Hussein, but I expect it from John McCain. I wouldn't expect this rhetoric from Barry Hussein, but certainly I'd expect it from John McCain, not Barry Hussein. And I do like the iambic pentameter. Thank you very much. But getting back to basics here, this is a very competitive business, the radio business. The media is a very competitive business. We all say we're better than the other guy. We all imply we're better than the other guy. Well, you know what? Can anyone listening to this show tell me of a talk show host or someone on television who's come up with a better solution to some of these problems that this country is facing than I have? Has anyone come up with a better idea than borders, language, and culture? Nobody. Some of them talk very well. They're very glib. Some of them entertain very well. They're very entertaining. Some of them can talk and entertain. But none of them have ideas. Show me any of them who have original ideas. There are none. They're all the same old Republican rubbish on the Republican side. Free markets, and this is the way Republicans work, and that's the way the Democrats work. We've heard it all before. It's old. There's no need to listen to that anymore. Nobody wants to hear it. We know there's no fundamental difference between Republican and Democrat. None whatsoever. None whatsoever. It's a shell game. It's a shell game. It's two shells and no peas. They just keep moving the shell around. I have ideas. And the reason I'm telling you this today is because we're in a very, very strange place in America. You know, if I had said to you a few years ago we'd have a currency crisis like this and a potential food crisis like this and a fuel crisis like this, it's almost a perfect storm. Tell me, currency, food, and fuel all at once. What's driving it? There are many factors driving it, not the least of which is we have no leader. There is no leader. Take me to your leader. Where is he? Did you hear our leader this morning stumbling over himself again, couldn't finish a paragraph, and repeating the same homilies about the benefits of NAFTA? That's a leader for you? Listen to clip four. That's your leader.
I'm concerned about protectionism in America. It's not in our interest to become a protectionist nation. And so I'll continue to speak out on it and assure our friends that, you know, we will work hard to explain to the people the benefits of why free and fair trade is in our nation's interests.
Well, first of all, he doesn't know what he's talking about. I can tell you right now the man doesn't know the fundamentals of free trade, because we don't have free trade. Free trade is something that may have existed in Adam Smith's time. It does not exist right now. Now, he says he's against protectionism, but he seems to be awfully protective of Mexico's interests. That's the part I can't understand. says that he's against protectionism and he'll speak out against it. Then why is he so protectionist about America, about Mexico's interests, when he's not so interested in protecting America's interests? That's what I'd like to know. I don't see any benefits of NAFTA. Few people have benefited. Most people have not benefited. Family farms have not benefited. Jobs have been exported. True, it wasn't as disastrous as Ross Perot had predicted with the giant sucking sound, but it's very close to it in some quarters of America, which is why tonight's primary in Pennsylvania is what it is. It's about jobs. It's really not about the war. Many of their sons have died in Iraq. That is true. But not as many as have lost their jobs or seen their factories close in Pennsylvania. Okay, so that's what it's all about over there. So that's why we're going to talk about this. Houston, Texas. Richard, you're the first up in this hour. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Michael. Great to talk to you. I worked in a factory after I got out of high school. My old man insisted that I go to college. And my mom had worked for this company. They made ladders for 25 years. And it wasn't too long after Clinton's second term that they closed the factory and moved it to Tijuana and put my mom out of work. So I'm incredulous when he talks about any benefit for, any benefit that.
Well, what does Bush mean by he'll speak out against protectionism? Isn't a president's job to protect his own country? What does he mean by protectionism? Let him define it. He doesn't want to protect America? Well, that we know already. He seems to have every other country's interests at heart, not ours. How does this help us? Yes, it helps a few small individuals. I mean, a few individuals, a very small number of them, mainly Wall Street investors. They don't want protectionism. They'd much rather see the factories moving to Mexico. You understand that.
Elites profit off the backs of all of us. It's unfortunately the way of all flesh, it seems.
Thank you, my friend. I hear you. How about my idea? Does anyone beat my idea of oil for war? Has the leprechaun or the wall banger or the golfer come up with a better idea? They come up with no ideas. All they do is bash Democrats every day of the week. That's all they do. How can you listen to it every day? Every day the same thing. Every day the same thing. It's like a madness. It's not 1995 anymore, where a person in talk radio can get up and say, liberals no good, liberals no good, liberals no good. I did that myself. They are no good and they're crazy. So now what? Now let's go beyond that. Let's move on with real ideas. It's a little shill. They're starting to sound like clowns with big red noses outside of McDonald's trying to bring people in for hamburgers that they're no longer eating. That's what it's starting to sound to me, the whole thing here. Honk, 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 honk. Republicans, good, honk, honk. Come on in. Come on in, honk, honk. I don't know how you take it. I just don't know how you take it. We're way past this. And our president, frankly, worries me. His facial gestures, I don't want to go into it. I'm not a psychiatrist. His facial gestures, his inflections, something's wrong with the picture. I'm telling you, something's wrong. Dave on KNEW, welcome to the program.
Hey, how you doing, Savage?
Well, go ahead, Dave.
How you doing? Hey, I just wanted to comment on that whole speech that George Bush left there. What a glue head. I cannot believe the things that he was saying about the export, and that creates jobs.
I know. But now, did you hear that this morning, or did you hear it on my show or in both places?
I just heard it on your show. Actually, I've been working my tail off to try to keep my personal economy alive. And
Dave, and I swear to you, when I heard that this morning, I spilled the coffee and started screaming in the kitchen. I thought he was crazy. I thought he was a madman to say that it creates jobs when the whole election is about the loss of jobs. I said, what world does this man live in?
You know, in 2000, when I heard that Gore lost, you know, and I don't think Gore was any closer to being anything better. I think he was the lesser of the two evils. I knew we were doomed. And then when 9/11 happened, and then I thought for a moment, wow, you know, he's actually going to attack, Afghanistan. That's a proper thing to do. And then he just, like, had bipolar and then just went into Iraq. I just think, we're doomed. And now it's just like a whole circus, this whole thing about the debates and all the mumbo-jumbo about who's going to be the best president. Not one of them really satisfied me because they just don't seem to really have any ideology of what's really going on. There's not any affairs being addressed about what's important, you know, and I think that they just, it's all due to the fact that they just all are focused on the green and the money, and that's all that's important. And it's a heroin addict.
Right, and the interests that put them where they are tell them what to say and what not to say. And the big money that's flowing into Barry Hussein's hands, $50 million a month, where do you think that's coming from this unknown politician from Chicago's wards? Who's giving him $50 million a month? Where is it coming from?
You know, that's the scary part is that, you know, it's coming from every place, but, you know, from any better resource than you know, the depression that's going to be coming up. And that's
Did you hear George Bush say that we don't have a recession today? We have a downturn, that it's not a recession? I mean, everything the man says makes me worry about him, Dave. I mean, what do you do when you wake up and you realize that your leader doesn't know what he's talking about? At all. You may disagree with him politically, that's one thing. But what if the man doesn't even know the first thing about what he's talking about? What if he doesn't know any of what he's saying? How does he have any idea what reality is if what he said today makes no sense? Thanks for the call. I'll be right back.
Savage.
NAFTA exists, and NAFTA, when you analyze it in an objective way, it benefits, beneficial to America. Also happens to be beneficial to Mexico and Canada, which makes it a very good comprehensive agreement. It's beneficial to us because when you're able to export to your neighborhood, it helps create jobs. Jobs are created when people find outlets for their goods and services. We have found a lot of outlets for our goods and services in our neighborhood.
Neighborhood? It's good for jobs? The man's giving a stump speech from many years ago without any relationship to what's going on in the country today. 3 million net U.S. manufacturing jobs were lost during NAFTA. These are misleading statements. At best, I'll dignify my reaction by saying that. Nearly 300,000 U.S. family farms were lost during the NAFTA era, while these farms' income shrunk 13%. Moreover, as far as wages in Mexico, Mexican wages, he says, have increased under NAFTA. It's not true. Wage growth has declined under NAFTA relative to Mexico's period before it. No, nothing has really benefited, and not very much in the way of benefits for the American people, Mr. Bush. The fact of the matter is these talking points are not only foolish, they are dangerously naive if you actually believe them. No, not at all. Now, Barry Hussein, Obama, and Hillary Rodham Clinton have said they would consider pulling the U.S. out of the trade deal, incidentally. That's interesting. Pull us out of the trade deal. You know, maybe we should be pulled out of NAFTA. Maybe the American unions are finally standing up for the American worker. I would support that 100%. I'm an independent. I'm not wed to the Republican Party. I never have been. I would like to know if you think we should pull out of NAFTA. I don't care if Nancy Pelosi and the unions want that done. I want it done. I'd like to see that done. I'd like to see the benefits to America rather than the benefits to Mexico. Now, some studies have said that a flood of inexpensive corn products from the United States has put many small Mexican farmers out of work and has increased illegal immigration of workers across the border into the United States as rural Mexican residents left their farms seeking jobs. We've actually destroyed the small farmer in Mexico with this. Did you know that? Are you aware of this? I don't think you understand this. Have you ever tried to export a product to Mexico? I know something about that. You go try to see if you can get one of your products into Mexico. Go ahead and see what NAFTA has done for you, the American businessman. Oh, yes, if you're an agribusiness, you can send in truckloads and trainloads of material. But if you're a small American manufacturer, you go see what kind of red tape there is for you to export a candy bar that you make to Mexico. This is total rubbish. It is all lies. I'd love to see a presidential candidate who says nakedly, I'm a protectionist. I'm a proud protectionist. I'm going to protect American jobs. I'm going to protect the American language. I'm going to protect the American currency. I'm going to protect the American environment. Yes, I'm a protectionist. I'd love to hear those words. But you won't hear any of that from any of them. They're all reading the talking points put out for them by the, I don't know by who, I guess it's the same groups of people. This is the Savage Nation. If American factory workers were to be heard from, I don't think they would say they're very happy with labor, with NAFTA. No, I think their jobs have been exported not only to Mexico, but to China. Sure, labor may be cheaper in Mexico, but it's still cheaper in China. Chinese workers make about a quarter of what their Mexican counterparts earn. Did you know that? I don't think you understand that. Did you know that by the year 2007, Mr. Bush, the U.S. trade deficit with China hit an unprecedented $256 billion, while the deficit with Mexico was $74 billion? When you took office, we had a net proceeds with Mexico? You've busted us with Mexico.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. As you well know, I'm in a fight for my life against this front group, this pressure group, so-called Council on American-Islamic Relations. They now have, in my opinion, defamed Joe Farah of WorldNet Daily. And it's a terrible thing what they're doing. They're going after anybody who stands up to them. And the shame on the Daily News. I wouldn't expect anything more from that subway rag. But they called up the spokesmouth for CARE, but not Joe Farah. And they attacked WND Publishing and Joe Farah and made up stories that he never said, airdropping pig's blood over Afghanistan. Joe Farah never said that. Moreover, this convert to Islam, this Hooper, you've seen him, this bloated fool, in my opinion, should understand that Joe Farah, a friend of mine, by the way, the editor of WorldNet Daily, is the grandson of immigrants from Syria and Lebanon. He is an Arab Christian. Now, the reason CAIR hates Joe Farah is because he is of Arabic descent, only he supports Christians and Jews. That's his crime. See, that's Joe's crime, is that although he's an Arab, he's pro-American, he's committed to Jesus, and he defends the Jews. That's why CAIR has put a target on his back. So, Joe, if you're listening to the show, you're in very good company, trust me. You're in very good company. And one day we'll get politicians who will defend Americans against these snakes. And believe me, that day will come sooner rather than later. And I want to again thank the people who have helped me in my struggles. They're only begun. I'm going to go all the way to the Supreme Court. I don't care what it costs. I don't care what it costs. This is the final chapter of my career. And I'm going to win this battle if I can help it. I'm going to fight them to the U.S. Supreme Court because time is on my side. Truth is on my side. Inevitably, if this goes on for a number of years, there's going to be another terrorist event in this country. That's what the intelligence agencies tell us. And when there is, we just might get some politicians with spine enough to stand up to these people in CAIR and expose them. After all, they are an unindicted co-conspirator in a federal anti-terrorism trial. Maybe one day the politicians will have the guts to stand up for real Americans like Michael Savage and Joe Farah and stand up for us instead of standing up against us. So time is on my side, and with your help, I'll fight this to the Supreme Court. And incidentally, just a final note on that for this show, I have not yet gotten the judge's ruling. It's been quite a while. It's been over a month. The only thing we got was the transcript from the hearing, which I've sent to people who made a donation above a certain amount as my token of gratitude to you. So believe me, this case hasn't gone away. It's just really beginning. We're still waiting for the judge's ruling. The minute it comes out, you'll hear about it on the Savage Nation. Now I'm going to go to the callers. I have so many good callers, I don't know where to go, frankly. Holliston, David, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please. David, go ahead, please. Are you gone? Gone with the wind. Next one. Well, I think we know most of what the people are going to say. You know, the truth is, let me read you what the people are saying. Savage, right on polygamy group. Yes, I am. I'm the only one in the media who's right. Savage, the only host with ideas. I don't know. Am I? Chicago, Mike, you're telling me that Wallbanger and the Leprechaun and the Golfer don't have ideas?
When you said, I got a question, who else gives ideas? The answer is nobody. There ain't a single talk show host, I listen to them all day long, that ever give ideas. because great minds discuss ideas, and average minds discuss people and things, and weak minds discuss their part-time job on Fox, and that's all they're allowed to talk about.
Oh, that's scathing. You'd be a good fill-in host. You have quite a way with words, Mike. Well, I wish I could be a little more positive about it, but I'm sick and tired of the same Republican good, Democrat bad, over and over and over and over, and the Bill Clinton imitations. They're not funny anymore, Mike. We have serious problems in this country, and I have serious solutions for them.
I don't think they take it serious.
Well, only their hairdresser knows for sure. Thanks, my friend. I think the people actually hear what's going on. I really do. See, I'm one of the few people who listens to the people, and I don't think that they're as stupid as the average media personality thinks you are. This is the reality. I mean, this is the reality of it. I take you seriously. I don't mean everyone out there is a genius. I didn't say that. But the average person is not so average when it comes to understanding what's in the interest of their own survival. Let me put it to you that way. Does that make sense for you? The average person's not so stupid when it comes to what to do to survive and how to keep his family going. They don't have to be Einstein to understand when they're being sold down the river. That they don't need a Ouija board to understand. They don't need a Ouija board and an interpreter to tell them when they hear a president sounding like a crackpot, making statements that make no sense. They don't need to consult an expert. Okay? They don't need a psychiatrist to give them treatment and a pill. They hear what's going on, and they can see what's going on. The candidates are no different. They're all out of touch. Barry Hussein is talking about health care and global warming like that's the solution. That's the change. That's the salvation right now. We have a currency crisis, and none of these clowns have talked about it. You hear this? Has McCain or Hussein or Rodham talked about the currency crisis? They don't even know what's going on. They're in like an auto mode. Auto mode. Stump speech, stump speech, stump speech. Cake, lemon cake, hot dogs, hamburgers, and Joe's luncheonette. They don't know what they're talking about. They're detached. The jerks running around after them with the cell phones don't even know what's going on. I know what's going on. See, I have all day to study these issues. They don't. They're other directed. Their job is to get their candidate elected. Their job is not to tell the truth. Their job is not to solve America's problems. Their job is to get their candidate elected. My job is to try to discern what's really going on and come up with some ideas that are valid. You know, I once years ago said that I like to see the show as a place where I throw a pebble in a quiet brook, a quiet pond. And from this pebble, the concentric circles go out and there are ripples. Well, I don't see that my ideas have been rippling too far. They certainly haven't reached Washington. If they have, they've been rejected. I think they've built a dam in Washington to any ideas, and they say damn any ideas that come up from the pond. We don't care about what the people think. They don't even exist for us except every few years. We have to pander to them. They're nothing to us. They're like sheep. They're just sheeple. Every few years, we pander to the sheeple. And then after we're through pandering to them, we shear them, and we sell their wool. That's all. That's a naked, horrible reality. It makes me feel terrible, I mean, to even say it to you. So we're waiting for the nonsense to come out of Pennsylvania soon. Like that's going to save the world. Neither of the candidates, not Barry Hussein nor Hillary Rodham, have talked about the currency crisis, the oil crisis in any real way. They said, well, we have to become less dependent on oil. Great. That's very novel. Well, how do you do that? Since we can't do that, what we can do is get the oil from Mexico and from Iraq that exists and make them pay it to us for what we have given them. It's only fair. And since politicians are into fairness, what's fair is fair. Mexico has burdened us with their poorest of the poor. The hospitals are overwhelmed. The hospitals have gone bankrupt in the border states. The schools have become second-rate schools across America, largely because of the drain on the school system of English as a second language. That's correct. English as a second language has sucked an inordinate amount of dollars out of the budgets of every school in America. You're teaching children who are illiterate in Spanish how to speak English. You're wasting money teaching them Spanish when you should be immersing them in English. That's the language of the land. The language of the land is not Esperanto. The language of the land is English. Immerse them in English the way my grandparents were immersed in English. Nobody pandered to them. Sure, when they went home and they could talk any language they want, practice any religion they wanted. Nobody told them what to speak in their own house. can speak it to a merchant if you want. But if you want to do business in City Hall, my grandmother and grandfather had to go down there either with an English-speaking person or they had to learn English themselves. No one bent over backwards and spoke to them in Russian. No one pulled out a map to every language on earth like a Tower of Babel and a motor vehicle bureau and gave them a test in Ukrainian. I never heard of anything like that. San Francisco, the elections are held. The ballots are in seven languages. Arabic, Tagalog, several dialects of Chinese, Spanish. It's unbelievable to me that this country has become such a, as I said, we've gone from a melting pot to a chamber pot, and I stick by those words. Okay? I stick by those words. This is no longer a melting pot. It's a chamber pot. I stick by those words. And if you find it offensive, it's your loss, not mine. So, there we are. I don't know what... I could entertain you with something wonderful I have. Do we have a shorty? You know, I told you I'm working on my autobiography right now. So what I've been doing is collecting my family and childhood stories. So I've got a bunch of them now that we put together on tape. And we have a shorty here. We have a minute and 05 is a shorty we can use right now. How about Radio Studio Shouldn't Be Fancy and Track 11? You want to try that, Beowulf? To give the people something? You ready to go on that? Okay, let's listen to this.
So here I am in radio. I love radio stations when you travel, too. You don't know what you're going to get into. Like the charming spotlights from 1972 that were used, it looks like in someone's room, like, you know, Wayne's World. Or the chair you're sitting on, it looked like it was used in a Larry Flint film in 1973 in Pasadena, bought at auction. And why? Radio studios are very weird. I mean, it's not. That's the difference, because this is like a real medium. I'm not putting them down. The nicest people on earth, I don't really care either. I'm not like Mr. Fancy where it has to be perfect. You ever see guys with perfect studios? They're idiots. You ever see them on television, $3 million studios, idiots running around in the back with perfect hair, and they don't say anything? You give me a broken, like, half-complete studio where things are graphically incomplete and not right, and you'll be in a great radio station. You ask anybody in the radio business who's been around a while, and they'll tell you that the old radio studios are the best. Garbage in the can is even better. Like, the last guy's lunch is the best thing to find in the garbage can. I don't mean to eat. I'm talking about, you know, like the environment, the scent.
That's just a little piece, but there are so many other good ones. You know, I have these stories when Pasta was Spaghetti Louie and his monkey, first boat in Hawaii, half man, half woman in Long Beach, one arm Frank, the chestnut man, Woodchuck Bill, Mama Savage in retirement home, nutty friend, that crazy mother on Benzedrine, RCA Victor dog. These are some of the stories. And maybe tomorrow or the next day, I'll ask you to call in with the names of some of the other family or childhood stories that I've told so we can start searching the archives for them and put them together in one, putting them together in one CD for me so I can start looking at them for the autobiography. What was I going to say? There's something coming up Friday night that I thought was interesting. You know, I've been talking with some filmmakers for over a year now. Nothing's exactly gelled yet. And, I ran into a Fijian guy who I talked to once in a while, and he told me that this Friday night he's meeting with his Fijian friends in a church. They meet in the basement. They have like a party every so often, and I think they drink Yangona with Kava Kava. I don't particularly like this stuff. I drank it for years before people even knew what it was. I prefer a beer, a six-pack. But The fact is, I said to him, would you mind if I came along with you? Because I gave him a copy of my book, Secrets of Fijian Medicine, which was published in the 70s. And he almost fell down. He said, because when I showed it to this guy, he's only in his 30s, about a month ago, he said, he looked through the pictures of me when I was very young and as a plant collector. And he said, that's my uncle. He said, you were on the island that I was born on? He said, I can't believe you got to that island. I said, yeah. He said, that's my uncle. So he said, he's shown the book all around the community. And he said, they can't wait to meet me. So I was thinking that when I go to this church thing on Friday night and meet these guys, that would be a great place for the filmmaker to open them. What an opening scene that would be for the movie, wouldn't it? It's like it'd be a great opening scene, me walking in cold to a party with Fijians in America and see the reaction of these people when they pass the book around and we look at the picture together and we start sharing stories. Because you want to talk about storytellers? There are no better native storytellers than people in the islands. They're the best storytellers in the world. In other words, they live in an oral tradition. You understand that? And I guess I come from an oral tradition, which is why I am a good storyteller. But when I found myself in those islands talking to the people, I was in the hands of born storytellers. Anyway, enough for the distraction. Let's get back to the serious crap of Hillary versus Barry Hussein. I call him Barry because that was his name when he was before he got he became very slick. And he figured out that if he used an Arab name like Barack, the liberals would trip over themselves to give him advantages. You know, I mean, just think about it. The advantages this guy got in Hawaii as a multiracial kid by using the name Barack. Oh, that's like a double sacred thing. Oh, yeah. It's like saying, oh, yeah, we're really bend over backwards for you. So now, click, click, here we are, and the man has gotten this far. How many guilty white liberals can there be in the world that this man could get this far based upon hyperbole? I don't understand this. I'll be right back. Savage. What these fools in the media are going to do on Thursday and Friday, I mean, after Pennsylvania's over, they build everyone up like it's the life and death. Then what? What are they going to do next? How can they keep you interested in Barry Hussein and Hillary Rodham? How can they do this? I've never seen such mass hypnosis in my life. Really important issues? No, there's no story about the currency crisis, the oil crisis, the immigration crisis. None of them have discussed immigration. They won't discuss it. They're doing it again. It's a conspiracy, don't you understand? This is a gigantic conspiracy. Now, why is immigration so central to this election? Because if it's about jobs, then it's about immigration. They're taking lower-end jobs. That is true. Well, who are they taking them from? Well, we hear that they're taking them from Americans who won't do the job. We know that's a lie. In some cases, that's true, but I have a solution. Take able-bodied people off welfare and force them to do the jobs that they don't want to do. Because in the past, it was they who did them. It was that class that did them. Yes, I'll use the word C-L-A-S-S. That's correct. People who by a lack of education or by bad luck have wound up in the situation where they have to do jobs they don't want to do. That's what I mean by that. It's that simple. Either by a lack of education or by bad luck. Or being born into a family without any. That's all. Nobody wanted to clean toilets, ever. I never knew anyone who woke up one day when they were five and said, I want to clean toilets. Have you ever met anybody who said they want to clean toilets for a living or work in a slaughterhouse? So far as I know, nobody wants to do that. Anyone you know ever woke up and said, wow, I can't wait to grow up so I can pick vegetables in the Central Valley in 102-degree heat. I can't wait to pick lettuce. Nobody is, so far as I know, wanted to be a lettuce picker. These are horribly difficult jobs. But, people did them because they were desperate and they wanted to eat. Then you got the welfare state and, oh, you don't have to pick lettuce. You stay home. Go get a Colt 45 and sit in the doorway and play dominoes like in Cuba. Sit around and look at the girls going by all day with your friends. Whole neighborhoods, like a scourge, neighborhoods of bums sitting around. Welfare recipients. How many men in their 50s have stopped working who can work, who are receiving some kind of welfare, one form or another? And I mean white men. Don't think I'm blaming a race here. It's not racial. How many guys have just said, I don't want to work anymore, a fake heart attack? How many cops and firemen have gone out on fake disability rackets? They're running around playing golf, hoping they don't get caught. So you think I don't know what's going on? You think it's limited to the illegal aliens? You're mistaken. It's a nation of people living on the fat of the land. And guess what? There's not too much fat left. They're living on fumes. So there are solutions to these problems. Trust me, there are real solutions, but I don't hear them being discussed by Barry Hussein or by Hillary Rodham. I don't hear it. Now, what is the media going to do on Friday of this week? How can they continue this charade? How much longer can this go on till the people snap? I don't know. The people must want something more. The crowds are fake. They're all supporters who are bussed in order to make the candidate look good. The average American hasn't been heard from yet. Have you voted? So far as I know, I haven't voted yet. They'd make you think every day there's an election somewhere in another country. I don't know what country it is anymore. The average person hasn't been heard from yet. The mass of voters in this country has not been heard from yet. These are all special interest votes, these primaries. And the average person has not been heard from. The average person, by the way, is a white male. That's the majority voter in America. is the working class white male. That's the majority voter. He has not yet been heard from. The media would like you to think he doesn't exist, that he's gone away, that he's disappeared, he's been overrun. No, but he hasn't. Look demographically at who the voters are. It's a nasty little statistic. Now, of course, they could pass a form of reverse affirmative action, which they could say to make up for past crimes against people of color, the whites will not be allowed to vote for two generations. In order to straighten things out, white men will not be allowed to vote for two generations. Well, perhaps you'll hear that from one of the Democrats. They might try to get that one through. That might be, have a popular appeal like global warming. That might be a good one for Gore to use next.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
And NAFTA, when you analyze it in an objective way, it benefits, beneficial to America. Also happens to be beneficial to Mexico and Canada, which makes it a very good comprehensive agreement. It's beneficial to us because when you're able to export to your neighborhood, it helps create jobs. Jobs are created when people find outlets for their goods and services.
All right, Mr. President, hello. There's a primary going on in Pennsylvania tonight that's about the fact that jobs have disappeared from Pennsylvania and elsewhere. We understand the stump speech from the year 2000 is something you've memorized by now, and, well, sort of, but it doesn't work anymore. So we don't know whether the final selection will be between Barry Hussein and John Insane. We don't know how that is going to work out. Whether it'll be Barry Hussein versus John Insane or Hillary Rodham versus John Insane. But here we are, the big night. It doesn't mean much to me, the primary. They're all going crazy, hysterical already in the media. The tie, the new tie, the new shirt, yakety yak, don't talk back. There he is, Wolf Blitzer, the nowhere man. What's he saying? Nothing. Nothing. Not a one idea has ever come out of the man's mouth of any validity. I have ideas. I give them to you. I give them to you as pearls. Pearls, I offer you my pearls. And the politicians, of course, don't want ideas. Their only ideas come from Wall Street. The only ideas come from Wall Street. Now, I've come up with an idea, oil for war. I've come up with many good ideas. They're very good ideas. They're sound ideas. We win. And we're going to talk about it. We'll give you the results. There are no results. The polls are closing in Pennsylvania. Big deal. Now every yokel in the street is suddenly a movie star. The camera. And you wait till you see what they do on TV. Every yokel is going to be asked a question. They'll give you a typical demographic sampling of everybody there except the white male. Except the white male conservative. They'll give you a sampling of everybody else in Pennsylvania. All right. So since Obama's going to lose, since Barry Hussein is going to lose, they're already focusing on Indiana now. He's already conceded that he lost in Pennsylvania by saying... I've done very well here, but I'm looking forward to Indiana, and already CNN is complying with it and focusing on Indiana already, even though they haven't given you the results from Pennsylvania. John, KNEW, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. I mostly mix films in my studio in West Marin, but I've been following with interest your comments about possibly doing a film, and I really think you should shoot Friday night, because that's a moment you could never recreate.
That's what I was thinking. I said, wow. You know, I should get the guy I'm thinking of doing it with. He's got to come up. Just get it on film.
Yeah, I'd volunteer to do it myself for nothing, just so that you've got it. But also...
Well, wait a minute. That's not a bad idea. When you say you mix films, John, are you an editor?
No, I'm a sound mixer. I mix feature motion pictures and documentaries, but I also shoot documentaries in HD and regular film. And regular.
All right, I'll tell you what, you're hired for Friday night. Can you stay on the line and give me your email to my guys?
Yep, you should be building up a library of footage.
I'm going to do it. I love it. See, I got a real professional out there. John, I'm serious. We're going to do that. I'm going to go there and bring a six-pack, hang out with the Fijian guys. I can't wait. It's so much more interesting than another dinner. Oh, my God. Another dinner in another bourgeois restaurant. I think I'll die. Here's the oil. There's the vinegar. There's the bread. You want this? I can't take it anymore. I want to eat gruel on a Friday night. I want to just sit and eat gruel. I can't deal with it anymore. We all get old and fat no matter what we do. If we're lucky, we get old and fat. There's nothing wrong with being old and fat if you're lucky. In fact, it's a sign of success if you become old and you think about old and fat. A lot of guys, I've seen people in the streets. You want to hear something weird? Well, I'm doing this like as a filibuster until we get a result. There's no results. I may as well just talk story here because it's worth it. I'm reaching a point where I've been in the Bay Area of San Francisco since 1974. It's a long time, 84. Yeah, I add it up. I'm shocked sometimes, 84. I have to do it like a kid with mathematics, 84, 94, 04. 35 years? I said, it can't be. It's like yesterday, I remember. So I met various people when I first got here. Some I hung around with and some I didn't after a while. I ran into a guy today. He didn't even see me. I saw him. He looked so old. He was like decrepit already. He was once a vital, vigorous younger man. Well, of course, I mean, time and gravity. But I looked at him, I said, oh, my God, has this guy, like, wow. He looked feeble, like, you know, a stick figure. And I realized there's a certain point in a man's life where everything turns almost on a dime, like there's a fulcrum. I haven't turned that point in my life. I can still feel the energy in me. I can feel it. I know I still have it. But there's going to come a day where all of a sudden you become almost enfeebled overnight. You wake up and one day you're a shell of your former self. So I saw this guy. I was shocked. I remember, wow, you know, wine, cheese, parties, North Beach, people, you know, intellectual ideas, da-da-da-da-da. Now he is there walking in the street, like all of us, waiting for the undertaker. It's terrible. But what are you supposed to do about it? Nothing. You can't do anything about it. You take some vitamins. Take more vitamins. I take plenty of vitamins. That's why I'm still vital. I would have been dead 20 years ago had I not taken the vitamins I take. I know I would have been dead 20, 25. I have more energy now than I did when I was 18 in New York. I was completely, like, de-enervated from leading that lifestyle. My God. The orange cellophane over the corned beef sandwiches on, you know, how could you live on that food? My goodness. Exit polls. There's nothing. At least I'm talking about a movie and people I knew. They're talking about nothing, and they're doing it with such sincerity on the channels now. Zero results. Nothing. Nothing. Zero. Nothing. And an idea yet to come out of any of their heads? Now, ask Wolf Blitzer if he has one idea about how to save America. He wouldn't even know what you're talking about. He wouldn't know where America is. Ask Tony Snow, who just was supposedly a conservative last month, working for Fox News and now took a job at CNN. How that works. Ask Tony Snow job how that works. The government media complex is how it works. It's like a, you know, form shifters, like in science fiction, form shifters. That's what people in the media are. They're form shifters. There are websites that were once conservative, now are supporting Hillary. Now they're like form shifters. Newsmax, I don't have to deny it. Funded by Scafie. It was the biggest anti-Hillary, anti-Bill website in America. The biggest. Funded by the multimillionaire, the billionaire Scafie from Pittsburgh. All of a sudden, Scafie got sung along. Boom, boom, bam, bing. He's supporting Hillary, and the whole website is now all of a sudden left-wing and still proposing. I don't understand how this works. How do people not see these things? I have not changed my political orientation since I began a radio. Do you know why? Not because I'm stupid. Not because I'm a blockhead. Because I know I'm right. And I know that Doc Savage's prognosis is correct. I also know my cures are correct for what ails this country. Or I would have changed my ideas. I haven't changed it on one issue. Not one issue has been worthy of changing my ideas since I began a radio 15 years ago. Show me one issue that I was wrong on. I was wrong about borders, language, and culture when I created that concept in 1994. When I started in radio, show me who's got a better idea. How did it find a nation better than me? You mark my words. This will be remembered years and decades from now when people start to even talk about there once was a thing called a nation. There was once a thing called a nation. And nations were defined by what? Borders, language, and culture. Nobody has perfected the definition of how a nation is defined better than I have. Nobody. And so since I first know what a nation is better than anybody else, I know how to protect the nation. They don't, because they don't even exist. The idea of a nation doesn't exist for the politician. Don't you understand that? They don't see the nation. They see polls. They see demographics. They see states. They see small steps along the road to their ultimate dream, which is egomania. They don't see the nation. They don't understand there's a nation as a whole called the United States of America. And the president, I don't know what to say anymore. But I did tell you that if you think he's done damage in the first 7 and a half years of his presidency, you've seen nothing yet. It's going to escalate beyond your wildest dream what happens between now and November. Everything he's been holding back is going to come out just as it already is. Everything that he's been hiding is going to come out. That's why he's desperate to push this Colombia free trade deal right now. There's something that doesn't add up to me. I don't know the obsession with why Colombia. What is this with Colombia out of nowhere? Why not include Antarctica in the North American Free Trade Association, NAFTA, so the penguins can benefit? And there'll be less illegal penguins coming across the border. I mean, give a speech next about that. That if we can extend NAFTA to the Antarctic, there'll be less illegals swimming up from the Antarctic and coming into our country to eat our fish. He may as well say a thing like that for the kind of nonsense he's saying about this whole NAFTA thing. New Orleans, David, welcome to the program.
Doc Savage, this is Dave in New Orleans. I listen to you on my local station, AM 690. Usually they preempt you at times when there's a ball game on, but thank God there's not one on tonight. I'm getting ready to buy a shortwave radio. I recently got out of a FEMA trailer after 2.5 years with toxicology, but I firmly believe in you, and sometimes you get me so fired up. The last 6 months I've had to go to the psychiatrist to get a nerve pill to calm me down because
I'm going to get a lawsuit now that I agitate people.
I firmly believe in what you say, and for the past 3 years, I've had a formula. George Bush was here in New Orleans today. I couldn't watch it on the television because it upset me very much, watching him dance and hug and kiss and so on. I think the man had an aneurysm. There's a Manchurian candidate thing going on.
I don't know. Hey, look, Dave, I don't know. There's something bizarre in his speech patterns and his behavior.
Something's definitely wrong, Dr. Savage, and I think a man like you really has the intelligence, and from what I understand about your background, you would have the ability to do the investigation to probably be able to find out.
Let me stop you right there, Dave. I'm a one-man show in that sense. I have wonderful guys who work with me on the show, but I'm a one-man operation. It's one man's opinion. Don't confuse me with an investigative reporter, but I thank you for listening to the show. He's talking about President Bush making no sense this morning, and when he had the Three Amigos meeting with the president of Mexico and Canada. You got to hear clip 10. This is the most bizarre of all of them. Listen to this one.
All in all, it's been a very, it's been a good summit, and I appreciate you all coming. New Orleans is a fun town. I'm looking at the press corps to make sure that they didn't take advantage of it. You look well rested. Anyway, it's a great place. I'm glad you're here. Thanks for coming.
Okay, that was appropriate. That was to like bond with the press corps that they're all a bunch of drunks and party animals. It doesn't make sense, any of it. But I've made the point already, so why beat it up? Results from Wereverville, nothing. Zero. We'll sit here like idiots now for another 40 minutes with nothing. No, I expect to wake up one day and hear that the white male is not going to vote for two generations in order to make up for past sins against minorities and women. And in order to straighten things out to make sure we can get a minority or a woman or both elected, the white male will have to put his voting aside for a few generations, as was my career put on hold by the ACLU and the other slime in this country that should be in prison. I'll be right back.
Savage. We'll be right back.
are hundreds of out-of-work reporters who are now sitting in front of cameras saying nothing about the primary. They're getting so desperate, they're giving you demographic breakdowns without any results whatsoever, such as amongst those who take Prozac, who were given in the exit polls, those who take Prozac, 97% think that Barry Hussein will invade Iran. Amongst those who are transvestites from New Orleans visiting Pennsylvania for the weekend, of whom there are six, 97% think that Obama will make a better grand marshal in the next transvestite parade than would Hillary Clinton. I mean, that it makes as much sense as what they're putting up there. I never saw anything like this. They're getting crazier by the second. They have nothing to cover. What are they going to do on Friday of this week when there's no primary to cover? Have you in your lifetime ever seen an election take this long and be covered with such detail by so many fools? I've never seen anything like it. Now, you have to ask yourself why. Well, you could give one, you could say, well, it's because there are so many outlets now and they have to fill up time. That's true, but that's not the main reason. The main reason is because so few people really care. Let me put it another way. So few people believe there's a difference between one politician and another, that they've had to create differences through personalities, not through positions. Because fundamentally, there's very little difference between Barry Hussein and Hillary Rodham on issues. We don't even know what they believe in. What do they stand for? We don't know. We haven't any idea. None of them will discuss immigration. None of them will discuss the main issues. Instead, they go on idiotic shows and tell jokes and make fools of themselves. While we have a currency crisis, we have a growing commodity crisis, we have a fuel crisis, we have a border crisis, we have an environmental crisis, we have a drug problem with our children, we have a morality meltdown in the country. Not one of these issues are being discussed at any time by any of these blowhards. There's the next blowhard, Bill Bennett. He takes one side, his blowhard brother takes the other side, and they think we believe a word of them. One is a gambler, the other. You know, it's amazing to me how they get away with this. You look at the conservative commentators, one arrested for playing with a loofah and a girl in the studio, hushed up by Fox News, the loofah man. Now he wraps himself in the flag and does character books. The next one, a degenerate gambler, he's another expert on character. The next one arrested with a Viagra story, another ex. I don't know. The whole thing is, you know, only George Grass, the painter, the post-World War I German painter, could get this right. The whole thing, it's becoming a mishmash to me. I guess the same thing to you. There are no results. There are no results right now. So I could talk with you about nutrition, botany, the movie I want to do, or there are no Pennsylvania results. Nothing. The polls closed 25 minutes ago. There's no results. There's nothing to talk about. But they're going back and asking inane questions. Stupid. I never saw anything like it. Amongst those children who have attended the primaries with their parents who are on Ritalin, children amongst Ritalin, 99% of children on Ritalin think that Barry Hussein would be a better soccer coach than would John McCain. I mean, they may as well put that up next. They'll interview the children next coming in on Ritalin with their mothers in the voting booth. And give you some inanity that makes no sense. Then the gambler there, the degenerate gambler, will give you a story too next on CNN.
Savage.
We have the latest exit polls, but no results yet amongst drug addicts who are found in the gutters of Philadelphia. 99% would like a free fix. They don't know who's running for anything. Amongst college degenerates coming from a sex party, 97% are for Obama. I mean, well, what kind of nonsense is this? This is your idea of an election? It's starting to make Walter Crankenhaus, Tom Brokaw, and Dan Blather look like we need them. Where are they now that we need them? I've never seen such indulgence in vapidity in my life. Never mind stupidity. I'll take callers. That's what I'm going to do. There are no results. That's why they're running absurd. You turn on the media right now, CNN, Fox, they have no results. They're coming up amongst college students, 97% this. But they're not giving any results. They're making stuff up. We know what the result is. Hillary wins. It's not good for Barry Hussein. Consequently, the media is going to play it down and say it's on to Indiana, that his showing was good enough to show he can do well in a big state. They want to keep him alive as long as they can. Okay? Now, remember who was first to say it might, I said might, it might be a Hillary Obama ticket. It was me. I was the first to suggest that. And it just might happen yet. They'd be idiotic not to do it, to be honest with you. They'd be idiotic not to do it. If they analyze the fact that, let's say, 25% of those who are voting for Hillary say they'd go to McCain if Obama wins, and roughly the same number of Obama supporters saying they'll go to McCain if she wins because they're so angry at each other, wouldn't it make sense for them to unify and run together as a ticket? Sure it would. Whether the Democrats can do it is another issue. I hope they don't, but if they did, they'd be almost unbeatable because John McStrange, I don't know who he's going to pick as a running mate. That's going to determine whether he can win or not. God forbid he should pick someone to the left of himself. He's finished. And I think the bartender running his campaign is just liable to tell him to do that. He's like a fall guy for the election. If he picks someone to the left of himself as a running mate, it's over. He's done. He's got to pick a right winger to run with him in order to get the conservative vote to even come out and even try to vote for him. Otherwise, he's cooked. That's my advice, and I don't think they're going to take any advice from the real Americans out here. I think they're listening to the wrong people. So be it. Now I'll take your calls. North Carolina, George, thanks for holding. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yes. I'm calling because as a black minister and a fundamental minister, I have yet to hear my fellow clergymen denounce Obama for what he truly is, and that is a pimp or Beelzebub, or the devil. This man has come to the scene.
Wait a minute. You see, I take it you're not a supporter of Barry Hussein.
That is correct, sir. He has come to this country and mesmerized America, have people falling out, fainting, going through all of these changes. And I think that America is now experiencing what is going to take place in the future, because the Bible speaks of a man who will come and not only deceive America, but he will deceive the entire world.
Well, okay, let me ask you. You're a black preacher. Who do you think it is who's falling over themselves over Barry Hussein? It's white liberals, isn't it?
White liberals and blacks who are so in a rush to get a black man in the presidency. I would love to see a black man as president, but I'd love to see a black man who would not support the killing of 4,000 American babies every day in this country. I would love to see a black man come up and say, I'm against the perversion of homosexuality. I would love to see a black man elected to the presidency who would stand up and say what this country really needs. Because I spoke to Ronald
Reagan. Well, you speak the truth. I can tell you, you speak the truth. You must have a very good congregation who loves you. And you do represent the Christian movement within the black people, which is very strong and always run down by the media. I understand that. Look, George, I remember during the time that Annie Toussaint Newsom here in the city of San Francisco pushed forward homosexual marriage. There were about 80 preachers, Chinese and blacks, from the small congregations in the San Francisco Bay Area who came and opposed the mayor on this. None of them were shown by the deviants in the media. Do you know that? Even though they were black and even though they were Chinese, they were not shown by the deviants in the electronic media, because the deviants in the electronic media are owned lock, stock, and barrel by the homosexual mafia.
Correct. Michael, I'd like to tell you something that's even more extraordinary. I worked on the campaign for Eliana Ross Layton, the first Cuban American who was elected to Congress in Florida. On the night that Eliana Ross Layton was elected, I was on stage with her, her mother, her father, Eliana, and her husband. The news media cropped the pictures to deny me any picture of me up on that.
Well, they didn't want to show a black man next to a Cuban because it might give the wrong impression that some black people are Republicans?
Right. They didn't want to show a black man who was fundamental and who talked about black genocide.
Yeah, but George, listen to me. You have the same angst and anguish that I do on a daily basis. I can tell you're in agony every day over what you see and the denial of the reality of what the American people want. And it must eat you alive. But you know that you're right. You know you're on God's side. And that's all we can do, George.
But, Mike, I love my country. I hate to see it going down in the way that it is.
You're not alone, George, and I thank you for being a listener and a contributor, really, to the Savage Nation. You're welcome anytime. Early results, 1% shows her winning 60-something percent to Barry Hussein's 30%, just as we predicted. Less than 1% reporting, Clinton 66%, Barry Hussein 34%. Now, you could say this is the end of the beginning of the end. The fact of the matter is, when she's in a real big state, she's got the mainstream Democrats on her side. She's been running in marginal areas, and the hysterics have been following Barry Hussein around. You know, it reminds me of, in the old days, they used to be professional mourners. In fact, not in the old days. Today, if you watch a Chinese funeral in San Francisco, which I often do, I don't go out of my way, but they have very colorful funerals coming out of the Green Street Mortuary, and they rent a band, and they have professional mourners who are hired. It's an old world custom in some religions and in some cultures, since most relatives are glad that the deceased is gone so they can inherit the house and the money. No one really cries for the deceased anymore. It was so mercenary. They hire professional mourners, and the mourners actually walk around crying. They can generate tears on the spot. They have handkerchiefs. You got to watch this. It's like, and they walk behind the funeral car crying for a while till you see them throw down the napkin and then they walk away. You know, they did their job. The professional criers for these funerals remind me of the fainters at the Barry Hussein rallies. I don't know if they're hiring them or what. I think they're hiring them. It sounds like the whole thing is theatrical. In that regard, it's kind of entertaining, incidentally. There's kind of an entertainment value to all of this. And make no mistake about it, just in case you don't know where I'm coming from, I can't say I'm colorblind. I'd be lying if I said that. I am an American of a certain generation, and I'm not colorblind. However, I'm not blind to the red, white, and blue. That's the number the first three colors I see in any politician. I really don't see their skin color. I see red, white, and blue, and I want to know on that litmus test where they stand. And in terms of the red, white, and blue, I got to be honest with you. I wouldn't care if the person were black. I wouldn't care if they were of Mexican descent. I wouldn't care if they were of Asian descent. And I've said this over and over again. I'm not making it up to pander. I want to hear what that man or woman has to say about the issue of red, white, and blue, borders, language, and culture. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Getting so desperate, I expect to see a new demographic now amongst women in pantsuits with pear-like figures. 99% are for Hillary Clinton. It's everything but the actual results are coming out. It's unbelievable. I mean, the pear crowd. So she's going to win, and they're going to headlines tomorrow will be Hillary very much alive, or she rises like a phoenix from the ashes. She's back. Girls fly, and they're going to start again the horse race, and now suddenly we're going to be energized about the real race. She's going to say, I always knew it. He's going to say, on to Indiana, I did very well, and now they're going to then focus you on Indiana, like that's the biggest story of your life, without any discussion of the currency crisis, the commodities crisis, the fuel crisis, the border crisis, the moral crisis in America. Not one word about the actual problems of the country. It's, again, like it's just simply a personality contest. That's all it's become. That's why the media is so invested in this. It's a personality contest. I'm as interested in it as I am in who made a fool of themselves on Sunset Boulevard last night. I mean, it's mildly entertaining. But beyond that, it doesn't do a thing for my nation. So if you say I'm just grousing here with no solutions, you're wrong. If you just tuned in, you could think that. But you're wrong. I've been giving solutions all over the place. Not one of these so-called leaders of the free world has been asked about the raid on the polygamy cult in Texas and whether they think it was constitutional or not. Not one of them has been asked that question. Not one of them has brought it up. Not one of them has talked about taking 400 children away from a religious group. It doesn't matter whether you agree with the religious group or not. What matters is that 400 children were taken from their mother's arms at the point of a gun. That's what matters. Now, many of you criticized Bill Clinton for the Elian Gonzalez case, and rightly so, when the boy was taken from his father's arms with the tax squad came in, if you remember that. It was a long time ago. But not one of you Republicans has said one word about armed, burly men with machine guns and body armor taking children out of the arms of their mothers in Texas. Why? Is it because George Bush is sacrosanct? George Bush is above the law? What does George Bush have to say about this? No one's asked him this. Instead, he mumbles about free trade with Colombia. Well, I blame the media more than I blame the politicians. The job of the media is to be our watchdog, isn't it? Isn't that what we've been told since we're children? The job of the media is to be watchdogs, not lapdogs. But the media has become lapdogs because they want to act. They want access. If they cease to be lapdogs, they wind up like me. And that's okay. I'm glad that I'm out here. I'm glad that I'm an outsider looking in because I'm still a watchdog. They're lapdogs. That's why they don't bring up the hard issues. The day they bring up a hard issue, they don't get that person on the show. We all know how it works. That's why they won't come on this program. That's okay. That's what I'm supposed to do is be an outsider. They're not supposed to like me. They're not supposed to like me. I'm supposed to represent your interests, not their interests. It's not about me and my show. It's about you and your needs, or else the show wouldn't exist. What's the point of talk radio? Tell me, let me ask you something. Do you really need talk radio to entertain you? There's far better entertainment. I don't listen to talk radio to be entertained if I'm driving in a car. I don't listen to it for entertainment. I watch a movie for entertainment. Or I watch National Geographic Channel or Military History Channel. Or I watch a boxing match. That's how I relax. Or I read a book, a novel. Now I'm starting to read novels. I'm bored with them already. Again, I'm bored. There's too much time involved. I can read Schopenhauer instead. But that's irrelevant. You're not listening to this to be entertained. Yes, I can be entertaining. That's why you listen to me as long as you do. I have the longest time spent listening of anybody in talk radio, TSL, and you should know that. That's because I am entertaining and informative. But that's not the main reason you listen. You listen for the information that you get from me and for the ideas that you get from me. You understand that? Now let's go to the callers. Monterey, California. George, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Yes, I was calling because you were talking about Bush and his meltdown, and I think I figured out why. You're an Old Testament buff, and in Zechariah it says, chapter 12, that God will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling for all the surrounding nations and a burdensome stone, and all who try to move it will severely injure themselves. And you predicted in 2004, just before he got reelected, that he would probably turn to the left. You said, I hope not, but he might. It looks that way. And sure enough, he started pushing the Palestinian state, the idiocy. And next thing you know, he's starting a war and going crazy on Israel and the Palestinians. He's gone nuts since then. And you were right.
Wow, you listen to every word. See, this is the thing about talk radio. You got to be very careful what you say because someone's listening. It's not simple chatter. I mean, you guys actually listen to what I say. So you believe I have a slight, let us say, a little bit of the prophetic gene in me.
Yeah, you do, and you were correct. He did turn to the left, and once he started pushing the Palestinian state, he went crazy. It's just unbelievable.
Yeah, well, I hear you on that. And look what our dear friend Jimmy Carter has done. Look what he's done courting the devil himself. But I think, don't you think that Jimmy Carter making a mess with Hamas, that has backfired on him and the whole movement in that direction?
Yes, it has. Because, see, Jimmy Carter claimed to be a Christian, and he was a Southern Baptist. But he couldn't take it because they were actually wanted to give women rights, and he couldn't stand that either. So he went nuts.
Oh, boy.
He just went crazy.
Well, Jimmy Carter's another one. He's senile. Jimmy Carter is either very evil or very senile or both. George, thanks for being such an attentive listener. We have, again, early results amongst pear-shaped women in pantsuits in the latest exit poll. 99.9% of pear-shaped women in pantsuits voted for Hillary Clinton, as we would expect. And 87% of children who've just come from a party at a college have voted for Barry Hussein. And 99% of white males who were in Vietnam are voted for John McCain, not Ron Paul. I mean, is that what you want to hear? It's nonsense. It's rubbish. But that's what they're giving you. Okay. So what's the latest results here? The same thing, 1%. It's about 60% Hillary and about 30% Barry Hussein. I don't know what kind of good face he's going to put on it tonight. He'll say, well, I did very well for a guy in a big state. How can we 3% of reporting now? The same data is holding up, 60-40 roughly. Yeah. Have you noticed what the media has done to the poor women and children in the polygamy cult? How they've tried to mock them because the women wear dresses and they have hairdos that are unfashionable. It's heartbreaking to see the lowlifes in the media. They mock them because they wear pioneer dresses, but they don't mock women in burkas wearing 15th century costumes that cover their faces. That they find to be perfectly acceptable. They love multiculturalism, these left-wing lying vermin. These left-wing lying vermin love multiculturalism and tell you to shut your mouth if you say one word about women walking around looking like slaves in burkas. But they have freedom to mock these poor women down there because they're not afraid of them. That's why they can mock the Catholics, because the Catholics have been beaten. The militancy has been beaten out of Catholics in this country. That's why that little pervert on HBO can mock the Pope and Catholics and get away with it. The big brave man, he sits there on HBO and mocks Catholics when he knows nothing will happen to him. Why don't you try Muslims, Mar? Bill Maher, you lying little twerp, you. Try mocking Muslims. See how long you get away with that, you lying little twerp, you. You left-wing rat, you. You. That's what I'd like to say, but since no one listens to the show, I won't say it. The phone number here is 1-800-449-8255. If you want to see that story on how they're mocking the women in Texas whose children were seized from them with armed police, armed Texas Rangers with body armor and machine guns standing behind the mean-faced, clipped-haired deviants in Child Protective Services, took the children away. And today the Third Reich is giving DNA tests to little children. Soon the little children will be taken off the sanctity and safety of their church and be given away by the deviants and Child Protective Services to God knows who. I can guarantee you, if you did a follow-up 10 years from now, if the children had been left on that compound, they would have been healthier, more wholesome, and drug-free than they will be if they're given away by the deviants in the state of Texas. That's what I'd like to say to everybody listening to this show. It's one of the greatest travesties of justice I've ever seen in my life. I've never seen anything. I never thought this could happen. And believe me, if they could do this to the polygamy cult, they can do it tomorrow to someone else. If they could get away with this naked violation of the constitutional rights of these women and children, they can do it to you tomorrow. I've been warning you about that. But it's like falling on deaf ears. Why? Government media complex. Instead, they're focused on the horse race between the woman in the pantsuit and the cardboard messiah. This is the Savage Nation. I have not gotten to so many wonderful stories, including a very important one, that just as I told you, Ritalin is a very dangerous drug because it destroys the souls of your little boy, the soul of your little boy. It now came out that many little boys are getting heart attacks from this dangerous amphetamine-like compound. That's right. Your good pediatrician, liar, drug dealer. Your good pediatrician, liar, drug dealer didn't tell you that Ritalin is chemically almost identical to amphetamine, that they're putting your little boy on speed. Your little liar pediatrician, MD, with a stethoscope. No matter how good she looks, she's a drug dealer. I trust the crack dealer more than I do the pediatrician who prescribes Ritalin. Have a nice election.
Savage.